This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
Good morning, this is Michael McCammon, this is the Medicine Man. We're on Plains FM, and I've got somebody very, very interesting on the show, and I'm going to introduce you to Di Foster, and she is more than a survivor, and we're going to tell you what she survived about. But anybody who's worrying about an epidemic that's in this country throughout the world, and if you want some really good news, come and tune in after this little song, okay? Thanks, guys. Well, good morning, everybody. I have Di Foster with me today. And Di Foster, you had an interesting diagnosis about, what was it, how long ago you had this interesting diagnosis? Is that the right word? What happened? Well, there you were, trucking along, minding your own business, and?
Well, I'd like to say I was trucking along, but I had been a bit unwell for about a year, and I had gone to the GP a number of times, and I'd insisted on the fact that something wasn't quite right.
You knew it. You knew something was wrong.
I knew something was wrong.
So it wasn't exactly screaming at you, but you knew something was going on.
It was getting, you know, like I'd had repetitive chest infections, and like I don't have any IgA in my blood, so that chest infections are something that does happen in my life. I have a very, very minimal amount. So IgA is an immunoglobulin that stops a cold going to your chest. But I moved to Christchurch and I had repetitive chest infections. And so every time I went to the GP, they said, well, what we'll do is we'll give you antibiotics. And I said, well, that isn't going to help. What you need to do is you need to test and head to a sputum sample. And then if it's bacterial, that's fine. Let's talk about antibiotics. But every time they tested it, it wasn't. And I said, well, stop selling me antibiotics and let's look at why this is happening. I've had a lifetime of chest infections and I've managed them for over 20 years through health and wellness and diet and everything else. So, and you know, man, the GP was just like, I might as well have gone and banged my head against a brick wall. And unfortunately, right at the very beginning, I got a chest x-ray, but they didn't tell me that the radiologist wanted to see me again because they weren't that happy. And they said if the chest infection didn't clear up within 6 weeks that I should go back for a retest. And so 14 months later, nobody had told me that and I was still going back to the doctor.
So there was a lack of communication.
Oh, unbelievable. So anyway, I had been unwell and then finally, I got a hit at karate and I just went downhill within 8 weeks. I had a collapsed lung. I was very, very unwell. And a very good friend of mine got me onto a medical sports doctor and said, look, he can't help you, but he will get a diagnosis for you where you can't get that out of your GP because they've just not been helpful. So off I went. So I went to oncology that day not to hear if I had cancer because I'd already figured that out. Through the respiratory, they'd said that there was signs that the breast cancer was there, but I went for the diagnosis of the how bad version.
Right.
And so just on 9 years ago, I was told that I had terminal secondary breast cancer metastasized in my lungs with a life expectancy of 12 months.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot. 365 days.
And this is 9 years ago.
This is 9 years ago. I was 38 at the time, and I'd just been with the love of my life for a year. And I thought, geez, he's drawn the short straw.
He's drawn the short straw.
That's not fair.
I tell you what, listeners, I'm not looking at a ghost here. I'm looking at an incredibly radiant woman here. And you can just feel a radiance. And I really hope and believe so that you will feel the radiance as you listen to her talking, okay?
How could they not?
Okay. So, you were given a very short time to live.
I was.
And yet here you are 9 years later. What on earth did you do?
Well, I looked at this funny little oncologist and I thought, I'm in the wrong store.
In the wrong, yeah, you're in the wrong store. What are you trying to buy? And you, what do you say before?
I'm looking for fruit and veg, and he's offering me candy.
Oh, you don't want candy.
I don't want candy.
Candy's good, isn't it? Cancer loves candy, by the way, doesn't it? It feeds on candy.
Exactly.
But you don't want to go to the candy store, do you?
Well, I did this really radical thing, and they offered me palliative care chemo, and I read the side effects. And lo and behold, the fourth one down on the list was death. And I thought, that's not what I'm looking for. So, you know, people say to me that it was an incredibly brave decision to remove myself from the medical system. And let me tell you, Michael, it was the easiest decision of my life.
Music to my ears, I'm afraid to say.
It's not that hard because no. I'd already had chemo before
first time. Yeah, there's nothing for you upstream. You take the downstream. Everything's waiting for you downstream. You hear that, folks? Everything is waiting for you downstream. Just don't fight.
Well, Funny you should say that because most people assume that I battled this and I went in guns blazing.
Yep. War on cancer.
That's it. You've got to battle it and you've got to...
They're putting lots of money into this war and they're losing and they're going to keep losing.
They're going to keep losing. And,
of course they are.
And the thing is for me is that I had this feeling that if my body created something, then I could work with it to uncreate it. And I talked to my cancer. I was like, hey, if you are supposed to take my life, and if I am going to die in 365 days, then I think there's a couple more lessons I need to learn and I'm up for it. Whatever you want to teach me, I'm here to learn. Because if there's one thing I know about myself, the day I was born, I knew that my thing in life was to grow as a person. Because the day I was born, I thought, good Lord, not this again. You're shitting me. Like, seriously. And so every day I've been like, come on, we need to keep moving forward.
By crikey. Yes. Okay, so, I'm actually speechless. I'm speechless. And,
I bet that doesn't happen very often.
But no, because what you speak of is very close to my heart and my understanding. And it's not just my belief, it's my knowing. And folks, when you hear a knowing, there's something that happens in your body. I don't know if any of you are getting this while you're listening, but if you are getting this feeling, please follow this talk up, right? There's lots of ways you can do if you have the dreaded C diagnosis. I'd like you to really listen to this talk, or if you have friends that have this diagnosis of cancer, and particularly breast cancer, and you're getting this feeling that you know that you know that you know. You listen to that because that is the path with the heart. This is the one that's going to take you downstream where all the goodies are, because I can promise you, well, in my belief and my experience over 40 years in practice working with a great number of breast cancer patients and cancer patients and all sorts of things, that there's nothing for you upstream. It's not a war. It's not a struggle. Okay? So I'm handing the baton.
And I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I just felt that in that moment, talk about knowing, you know, like, if there's, my mother would tell you this is the miracle. What I'm about to tell you is the miracle. So I listened. In that moment, when a funny little oncologist was sitting in front of me with 1970s Roman sandals, long socks and tan walking shorts, I listened to my own heart. Now, the reason that that's a miracle is I wake up every morning only to hear what I've got to say. And my mother would say, holy cow, Di, you actually listened for a split second? That's the miracle. And what my heart told me in that split second, in a very quiet, unassuming voice, not demanding to be heard, but insisting that I was listened to, was three things. Be happy, go natural, be grateful. Now, seriously, I had no idea what those meant. And 9 years later, I've got a fairly good idea of what they meant. Be happy. Just in case you thought that you wanted to be happy for 365 days, I tried it, didn't work. Here's what did work, though. I could be present for 365 days. I could be present with my own emotions, with my own feelings, with my own life, with my feet on the ground. I could be present to that. And every time I got to choose, if there was a choice, I could choose happiness. And that's what I did. Go natural. There is no one size fits all. There is no golden pill out there. Yes, there is a number of things that are absolutely categorically 100% helpful. Holistic innate healing is a moving puzzle that is not laid out in front of you that if you tick the boxes, everything's going to be okay, because that's not how it works. It requires you to be present and connected to yourself and to that other light force, whatever you want to call it. You need to be connected to that if you want some of the shortcut answers. And, you know, when you've only got 365 days, I was going for some shortcut answers. So Go Natural to me was, of course, it was about whole food. Of course it was about whole food. Of course it was about me preparing virtually every meal for myself so I knew what was in it. And every meal was thought about in terms of, will this nourish my body? If it's not helping me heal, then it's probably hindering me. And, it, you know, nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. Nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. And believe me, I've consumed some interesting stuff in order to get a healthy feeling. So the biggest part of that, though, for me was do what felt right for as long as it felt right until it didn't feel right, and then do something else or don't do anything at all. And this is so important to me because, you know, when you get a really bad diagnosis, you can set your life up like a wellness task. But that's not the answer. Setting your day up with appointment after appointment and going to see people and handing your health over to somebody else.
Handing your power over to somebody else
is
never a good idea.
Never a good idea.
Never a good idea.
So you take your power back,
mm-hmm.
and you work out who the people are that are on your team.
Listen for the feeling, folks. Listen to that gut feeling.
It was my absolute intuition that I would know who was the right person to listen to when. And when I turned up to my chiropractor and he read my results and he looked at me in the eyes and he said, everybody's going to tell you you're toast.
Mm.
He said, but you're not. Mm. He said, this is just the beginning. So you know what? I went to see him every week and I sat on that bench and half the time he never even touched me and we talked because he believed that I wasn't going to die.
A healer.
A healer.
Which means whole.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So I hung out with him.
Hmm.
And I hung out with another couple of people that didn't believe I was going to die either.
Hmm.
And so, you know, this is the other part of it, is that we quite often... So here's something else I didn't do. I didn't Google cancer.
Oh.
But I tell you what I did do. I Googled innate healing. I Googled wellness. I worked out what really unbelievably well people did. And I felt into it to see whether that would be okay for me or not when it was right. And, you know, one of the things about gratitude that I'm not sure you'll ever meet a more grateful person, what gratitude worked out turned out to be for me was I'm lying in bed one day and I used to wake up every day and I'd open one eye and I'd go, hey, big guy upstairs, because he seemed a lot easier to negotiate with than the oncologist. I don't even know if the big guy exists, but he seemed better to negotiate
yeah,
with.
One would think.
Oncologists don't need to negotiate.
Mm.
And I said to him, am I going to die today? And I'm not sure he answered, but anyway, somewhere inside of me said, no, now get your ass out of bed and get on with it. And I was lying in bed one morning and I thought, what am I grateful for today? And 75% of my lungs had high levels of activity or tumours or were collapsed. Plain and simple, 75% of my lungs were not working.
That's almost critical mass.
It's almost critical mass.
Mm.
And then I became so incredibly, profoundly grateful for the 25% that were working. And with all my heart, I was so grateful that they were working to get me through the day. And I just ever so gently crossed my fingers that maybe tomorrow it might be 26. I didn't demand it. I just gently asked and asked if there was anything I could do to help that day. And then when I felt like I got to 27, 28, I gently asked if it could be 30. And I said to my cancer, I'm not kicking you out. This is not an eviction. I'm okay if you stay because I'm working out how to live with you. But here's the thing. If we're going to live together, then I need some lung capacity. It's kind of important. I'd like 50. You know, you can have 50 if you really need it. I'll have the other 50 if that's okay. So that was sort of my goal to start with. And I just asked, can you just move over a little bit? I just need some more space to breathe. And maybe I just need a little bit more space to breathe so I can learn the lessons that you're here to teach me, if that's okay. And so I did. I just got on with my day.
And your lung capacity?
Just went up and up and up, and then finally my lung, my left lung reinflated. And then I did some really interesting treatment. Don't even ask me what it was, but it was really interesting. And I got a heck of a lot worse before I got better. But I spent about 3 weeks coughing up stuff that really doesn't look like it belongs on one's lungs, just to say. And after that...
I've seen that stuff.
Yeah. I closed my eyes generally and flushed down the toilet. I don't want to...
Pretty yuck.
Yeah, pretty yuck. Colours that you don't think belong
toxins,
on your lungs.
Toxins, poisons,
yeah,
just, chemicals.
Fungal infection.
Fungus.
Yeah, so like I literally yep. had a fungal infection encapsulating
yep.
and then seen eventually yep. that came up. And so after that, it was like, after I felt a whole lot worse, like for about 4 weeks, I was pretty sick. Mm. And after that, I was like, somebody had just, my lungs were amazing. They were just really, really good.
What's your capacity now?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine.
100%?
100%.
Peak flow meter?
Oh, no idea.
Interesting.
So interesting because, you know, when you take yourself out of the medical system, the short version is 14 months later, my husband said to me, "You are seriously a pain in the ass again. You must be fine." And I said, "I know, I feel great and I have for quite some time." And so 14 months after I was diagnosed, he said to me, "Well, what are we going to do with the rest of our lives?" And I said, "I don't know. But I'm not going to have children after I'm 40, so you've got 6 weeks, darling." And he was like, "No pressure." And I said, "No, no, no pressure." But he did say to me, because he's, you know, we check him for a pulse every now and then, because this is a man that is rock solid, you know, like he's amazing. And never once questioned anything I did, just supported me in every way he could. And he said to me, "Sweetheart, 4,500 earthquakes, 2 businesses relocated, 1 about to be relocated again. We're living at your sister's, don't know if we've got a house. Your full-time job is 11 insurance claims and you think now's a good time to have a baby?" And I went, "Yeah, I do." And he goes, "No action ain't happening here at the moment. There's 6 of us in this house." And I said, "Don't worry, I've booked a weekend away at Akaroa. You can take care of business then." So 3 weeks before my 40th birthday, I gave birth to our one and only child, our son Jackson James Foster. And about 3 years after that, then I got tested to see what my lungs were like, because I was pretty sure that they were good. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd just gone through a little chest infection, and it was reasonably bad, but not bad compared to what I'd been through in other stages. So I had a bad chest infection, and they literally just were about to put me into the hospice. They assumed, they couldn't get their head round that I was fine, you know. So they wanted me to do some tests just, you know, to be prepared. So I said, "That's fine." So I went home and I got better first before I did the test. So I went home and did all the things that I knew to get my lungs better again. And I did that for about 2 months, and then I was feeling $1 million again. So I went and got tested, and the CT scan showed that I have absolutely no sign of disease on my lungs.
And now, of course, the medical profession are very excited to interview you and learn all about what you did,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, that's it.
So?
They said that I wasn't allowed to come back into oncology because I don't have cancer, so I'm not welcome there.
So they didn't interview you and ask you what you did?
No.
Not at any stage?
No. I'm not allowed in the building.
So I wonder what they think. It's just spontaneous.
Do you want to know what they think?
No, I'd love to know what they think.
Yeah, the last one.
Spontaneous submission. No.
Obviously they got it wrong. They were prepared
actually got it wrong. You didn't have cancer after all.
That's it.
Oh, well, there you go. Then that explains it, folks, doesn't it? She didn't have cancer after all.
They took a sample out of my lungs. Mm. It was positive. They were prepared to put me on chemo that would mm-hmm. kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
If it had have been less of a, you know, area, they would have chopped my lung out, mm-hmm. but apparently that didn't happen.
Right, and they obviously got it wrong because you were healthy all the time, weren't you? Your lung didn't even collapse, did it? No.
Apparently not.
I hate to be really cynical about this, folks, but...
Hardly ever talk about that, so you're about the only person I've spoken to.
I have to say, every now and again, I've got to open this little box, whether it's Pandora's box or not, but the thing is that... You know, there is an elephant in the room, and the elephant is that unfortunately, sometimes, and I think more than often, they make us sick.
Oh, don't even start me.
Well, really? I know this.
Seriously,
but
don't start
every now and
me.
Again, I open this little place, which is like, but it's a bit like you've got a room in the house, you've got a cellar there, and you haven't been in there for years and years and years, but thought, well, look, it's been 20 years, I haven't looked in the cellar, but I think I'll have a look in the cellar today, just see what's down there, getting a bit curious. And you open the door, and there's a child in there. And he's malnourished and sad, and it's just, and you go, oh, there's a child in there, and they slam the door and you're not going to look there again.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to look at things for the reality of they are. That every illness is a sign that something is going wrong, that every symptom is telling you something, there's a deeper cause.
And I think that's a really interesting point, because I have done a lot of work on myself, you know, as a person, as to who I am. Why did I need to experience this? You know, people say to me, you know, they try and put me on a pedestal. I voluntarily get down off it all the time. And, you know, like as I say to a lot of people, I'm actually really impressed with people that don't need to do this journey.
Hmm.
You know, and here's the other things. Let's just go back two steps, because you talked about the medical system for a moment. And part of my journey and understanding myself, we have 5 immunoglobulins. And I have 20 times too much of IgE, which means that I'm hypoallergenic, which I manage myself extremely well. And I have virtually no IgA, which means that I get chest infections easily. So how this plays out in the medical system is that at 13, I get a really bad chest infection that puts me in bed for 4 weeks. And I go to the doctor and they give me broad-spectrum ear, nose and throat antibiotics. And they do that because I then get repetitive chest infections about 4 a year for the next 10 years, pretty much, 10 to 12 years. And I get a chest infection every year. And so all they offer is antibiotics. So,
but there's a link between antibiotic use and fungal infections.
And cancer.
And cancer and all the rest.
Which is what I'm going to get to. That's exactly
go
the point. Well, that's exactly the point. So they give me too many antibiotics. At 17, I take control of my health and say, I don't care what you think, I'm not taking any more antibiotics. And I didn't. And I started managing my IgA levels on my own. At 25, a random doctor said to me, you shouldn't get chest infections, there has to be a reason. Your lungs are going to be shite. And I had a, you know, test camera. My lungs are beautiful. They're perfect. So then somebody else did a blood test, and it turns out that I don't have any IgA. And what this specialist said to me is, you should have never been given antibiotics, ever. But do you think that I can convince one GP that's ever seen me with a chest infection that they need to do a sputum sample before they even
talk?
Not one of the suckers. Excuse me, French. Broad spectrum antibiotics, ear, nose, throat, not good, led to leaky gut, led to alopecia, led to breast cancer, led to, holy, it's not rocket
cascading
science.
Cascading series events began from improper treatment and incorrect diagnosis and pharmacy. Drugs made from petrochemicals.
Correct.
Funny that. Guess what causes cancer?
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Could it possibly be anything to do with the actual treatment for other diseases that lead you to cancer if it's not done right?
You know, and the other thing is, you know, age 8, I was put on an asthma spray.
At age eight.
You know, if anybody had have asked me, I mean, I knew what was wrong. You know, there's 8 years between me and my younger sister. I was devastated to get up one morning and my parents tell me that I was no longer going to be the baby of the family. And I literally didn't feel loved. Mm. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Please, Mum and Dad, if you're listening, I know that you love me beyond words. But that's how an 8-year-old interpreted it.
Of course.
It's not about what my reality was. It was how I felt. Mm. You know, and the first thing that we do when we look into, you know, Louise Hayes type stuff is, what is asthma and lungs about?
Grief.
Not feeling nurtured. Grief of losing that baby position, you know?
So the message here is, we don't want to focus on any one thing, negative, positive. It's a whole collection of things. It's multidimensional why we get sick, and particularly with cancers, you know, it's never just the one thing, is it?
Never.
There's always connections. And this is what we mean by holistic therapy, or I don't like the word holistic because it's a bit airy-fairy. I like holographic.
Ooh.
Holographic is when things are connected, and to see the connections of things. So hence why you've noticed in my program, possibly, listeners, that I don't spend too much time talking about this miracle herb or that, even though I'm a medical herbalist, because I don't want you to get it wrong. I want you to get the understanding, because everybody is an individual. And we're running out of time, unfortunately, and I hope you can come back.
Of course, because is exciting.
Because there's so much here, and there's so much positivity, and there's so much healing that I can sense from our conversation, and I would love our listeners to experience more of you. And what you're saying, on one hand, you're an ordinary person. You don't have to be superwoman. I noticed that you are a karate exponent. Is that right? You do karate, and that's a really good sport. So you're not mamby-pamby either.
Yeah, although over time I've been doing martial arts for 25 years, but over time I've headed more towards a little bit more yoga and things like that because it doesn't necessarily fill that space that I need to. I don't feel the need to hit people quite as much as I used to.
And that's the point that I'm making, that even though you have a warrior spirit, the fight against cancer is not really the fight against cancer.
No.
It's not actually a war. And as you learn eventually, as you go higher and higher up with the martial arts, it's not really about hurting people.
It never was.
It never was. It's about completely the opposite.
Yeah.
And this is as you expand in awareness, the more you get into it, you realize that it's all about harmlessness and cooperating with the whole of nature. And so it's been incredibly inspiring to listen to you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's hope we can have you back here very soon. So
I think that's a good idea.
Thanks so much. That was Di Foster. And just to let you know again, in case you didn't hear it, that 9 years ago she was given 6 months to live with terminal cancer. And here she is in front of me, radiant. Okay, folks. So Mike McCammon, Medicine Man, Plains FM, and we'll catch up next week. Bye-bye.